if you've been studying, and the purpose of coming here is that you want to change your mind and you want to look at things another way. And then you want to be able to take that new way that you're looking at things and apply it to your everyday life. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay. Then this first paragraph says it all. It says, the new beginning now becomes the focus of the curriculum. The goal is clear. Now you need specific methods for attaining the goal. The speed by which the goal can be reached depends on this one thing alone: your willingness to practice every step. The speed by which it can be reached depends on this one thing alone: your willingness to practice every step. The speed by which it can be reached depends on one thing alone: your willingness to practice every step. Each step will help a little every time it's attempted, and together will these steps lead you from dreams of judgment to forgiving dreams, in other words, out of pain and fear. These rules of thought, these steps are not new to you, but right now there are more ideas than rules of thought to you as yet. So now we need to practice these ideas, these steps, a while, until these steps are the rules by which you live. We seek to make these rules of thought habits now, so that you have them ready for whatever need. So what I'm getting out of that is that in order for me to have this new reality that I want to have for myself, that's full of joy and peace and love and prosperity and abundance, then I have to practice these steps. Not just read the steps, practice the steps. I have to practice the steps. And what happens is that this is the way it works for most people. This is our mind is split. So we have the truth, and then we have like the world, what we learn from the world and what we believe in the world. We come into class like this, we're focused in our truth mind. So for an hour, everybody pretty much listen to this stuff and believe they create their reality and they can change things and that they're not a victim and we're children of God and that we're these powerful beings. And then we hear the steps. Like he said, we'll read the course and we hear, you know, what we're supposed to say, how we're supposed to look at things. But then, the minute that we walk out of the door, we go back into this man, which means we'll have these ideas, but we'll go right back out into the world and express ourselves in the world the way we did before we came in. How do you know you're doing that? It's very simple. You're doing it if you see yourself as a victim. If you're blaming, and if you're projecting that what you're going through is being caused by something or somebody outside yourself, that's how simple it is. How do I know if I'm not practicing? Well, when I leave out the door, I'll see myself as a victim, and I'll project, and I'll blame, and I'll be angry, and I'll think that things are happening to me that have no connection to me and that they're out of my control. So who can tell me how you can tell when you've gone right back into your old man? Okay, so one of the easiest ways to focus, what I say is by how I feel. I can tell myself anything, but I know how I feel. I can tell you I'm happy, I'm fine, I'm doing great, but I know whether or not I really feel that. I know whether or not I really feel joyful or that I really feel that I'm powerful or whether I'm feeling like I'm a victim. So, this is not condemnation, this is not judgment that I'm giving you. It's just that I want you to understand that if you go out of here and you practice the old habits, then the truth is you're going to create more of the old even though you're studying the new, and it will begin to feel like a burden, the new will, and you'll eventually drop it and stop studying and stop coming to class and stop doing anything. The person who studies the truth but doesn't apply it begins to experience it as a burden. Because what happens is that the part of your mind that is studying this truth but not practicing, you have a tendency to start beating yourself up for not being able to use what you are studying. Where if you never studied it in the first place, at least you wouldn't be beating yourself up about it. But to study it and not use it is a worse burden than not studying it at all. And so I've done this a long time, and I see people do that all the time. Because after a while, it'll start to sound like I'm saying the same thing over and over again. And I am. I purposely am, but I'm saying it in different ways, so that maybe one of the ways would be a way that would affect a person enough for them to use it. Because the truth really has to be repeated over and over and over and over and over until, like he said, it becomes a habit, and he describes a habit as a rule of thought. If you, the Course says, if you are miserable and unhappy, what I would like to invite you to do is hope that you are wrong. and not want to be right. There's nothing more ridiculous than having a miserable experience and wanting to be right. Which I used to be good at. You know what I'm saying? The more upset I was, the more self-righteous I was. The angrier I was, the more I felt like I was justified. Now it's, okay, I'm mad, I don't want to be right about this. That's what I do now. I'm mad, but I don't want to be right about this. So the Course says the advantage of making something a habit is as simply as it'll be ready for you whenever you need it. Like if I'm in the habit of being late, then I'll be late effortlessly. If I'm in the habit of going dancing every week, then that thought will be ready for me in every need. You know, if I'm in the habit of reading in the morning, then it'll be ready for. So whatever a habit is, it's basically something that's effortless. It's something that you just do without even giving it much thought. So when you're getting this new thought system, and look at it as a new thought system, when you get this new thought system, you know you got it when you're not having to think about it. But in the beginning, you have to think about it and practice it till it gets to the point that you don't have to think about it. See, we don't have to think about being a victim. We don't have to think about thinking there's something outside of us that's creating our reality. You know, we don't have to think. You know, it's like the stuff that's our habits, we don't have to think. But since we want to make the loving thoughts the habits now, right? So we want to make the loving thought the habit. He's telling us what you have to do is take it from an idea, practice it until it becomes a rule that you live by. And when you get many ideas like the Course gives us, it's not about trying to practice all of the ideas. It's about getting so many ideas that maybe one of the ideas will appeal to you enough to use that one idea consistently. So it's not about trying to use a lot of the ideas from the Course. You only need one or two that you use consistently to take you into the new world, which is a new state of mind. It's much easier than the way the world teaches, and that's what makes the Course hard. The other thing about it, people tell me, is that they can't read it, that it's difficult to read. The reason why it's difficult to read is because it reads as if you don't know what it's saying. And so every part of the sentence explains this part of the sentence that went before it. Watch this. Decisions are continuous. What does that mean? Well, it means you don't always know when you're making decisions. That's an important point. You don't always know when you're making a decision. He says, but with a little practice with the decisions you recognize, a set begins to form which sees you through the rest of the decisions. It's not wise to let yourself become preoccupied with every step you take. It's not wise to let yourself become preoccupied with every step you take. It's not smart to become preoccupied with every step you take. He says, the proper set adopted consciously each time you wake will put you well ahead. In other words, every time you wake up, you have a particular way that you've decided that you're going to approach your thinking, you'll be well ahead. So it's almost like when you get up in the morning, you got to consciously decide to be conscious all day. You wake up in the morning, you have to consciously decide you're going to have peace today. One of the most startling discoveries that I've made for myself personally in my 30-something years of being obsessed with giving myself peace is that it was the day that I realized it was a decision. I always thought just as soon as I got the next thing right, the next relationship, the money, the job, whatever it was, I knew it. Just even if I was studying the book, I knew what the books were going to do. Were they going to teach me how to get all the stuff that was going to make me happy? Then I was going to be happy. And then I noticed something that I'm sure everybody in here has noticed, is that there's always one thing or another. Have you all noticed there's always one? Am I alone on this? Have you all? And haven't you also noticed that it's been that way as long as you've been alive? So why do we think at some point it's going to stop? And then one day it's just going to all be okay. So that's because the universe will never support you in believing that your happiness comes outside of yourself. Because if that's not the truth, it's like asking God to lie to you. And the spirit is not going to lie to us. So every time a person thinks that their happiness is outside of themselves, they're thinking of something they've got to do on their own. Unless it's something that is about peace for everybody. So what happens is you have to make the decision to have peace. And then out of the decision to be happy, that's when all the things start to manifest that allows you to be happy. It doesn't come after you get what you want. You make the decision when you get up in the morning that this is the day you're going to be peaceful. And then you start to draw to you the events and circumstances and people in your perception that allow you to be peaceful. Everybody with me on that? Okay. So the Course is saying, this is a great line here. It says, if you find resistance strong, now this is how the Course reads. Whenever you see a conjunction, what's on the other side of the conjunction is nothing but a definition of what he just said. In other words, if you find resistance strong, well, what would that be? Dedication weak. If your dedication is weak, your resistance is strong. If your dedication is weak, your resistance is strong. Your resistance being strong and your dedication being weak, that's the same thing. So the Course gives us instructions to say what? Yeah. Do not fight yourself. So that's why I go through the book with people in the class, because I want to support you in getting past thinking that you can't read the book, because it's when you read the book that you'll see your life change. It's one of the few books I've ever studied in my life that you will see your life change by reading it. Most books, you read them, and when you get through, nothing's really shifted except you have more information. I guarantee you, if you read the Course, by the time you get to the end of the book, this is the first time, and I've read it over 90 times. And why? Because every time I go through it, it's like taking away another level of fear, conflict, pain, upset, whatever. So I keep doing it simply because I'm a glutton for having a good life. You know what I'm saying? I don't breathe one time for the whole day, so I don't focus on the truth one time for the rest of my life. Which I see. Again, one thing great about being in the teacher role is that you get a chance to meet thousands of people, which I've done over 28 years of teaching this. And what happens is that the beauty of it is, first of all, you're teaching what you need to learn, so I get a chance to learn most of all, I'm the one that's learning this stuff. And I'm so glad y'all come to watch me learn. And even sometimes share money. And hopefully you're learning too. But you have to understand, the reason why I'm teaching is because I cannot forget something that I'm always reminding somebody else about. It's impossible. If I'm telling you all this five times a week, I'm guaranteed to hear it five times a week. The more I hear it, the more it changes my consciousness, right? And so what happens is, you want to get rid of, if you really want to have an easier life, you want to get rid of this division. You don't want to have one mind you use in here and another mind you use outside here. You want to have one mind that you use everywhere. Don't let the part of your mind tell you that because you're at work, it doesn't work. It won't work with my mama, but it'll work in here. It don't work on my job, but it'll work in here. That's not true. It works better in the world than it works in here. That's the other thing you find out that'll shock you. It's just that people just take it for granted that it won't work in the world, so they don't try it, but actually it works better, because people who are not aware of the truth are much easier to predict than people who do. You know, like I do astrology. People who don't believe in it are much more easier to describe what their personality is going to be like than people who do. Because people who don't are acting from their unconscious awareness of it, and so they're doing exactly what the chart says without even knowing it. And people who are conscious, they're taking the information that they have consciously, and now they are truly directing their own lives. And they're the ones that are deciding what they're doing. So it's much easier. So I love being around people who think I'm full of crap. They're the easiest people in the world for me to deal with. First, when they walk in the door, that partner is probably not saying, "Oh, I'm so glad to see you. I'm glad you're home. I appreciate you so much. You're just such a light. You help me so much." The average person ain't hearing that. Okay? So if they walk up on you and they say that the server's been working all day and people have been treating them like they're a robot, not even human, just go give me the butter. Okay, then I go into the restaurant. I'm going to make a point to say to that person, "Hey, what's your name? How you doing? How's the day been going for you? I really want you to have a great day. Hope you have some wonderful tips." They remember that. Say, I practice the truth, but I practice it in the world. Now, the truth is, but what you do is you practice the truth in the world, right? And you tell them something very loving, right? But I probably wouldn't ask for their phone number. Because then, I'd have to deal with their day-to-day perception of reality. So it's much easier to be loving and kind to people in an impersonal way that they appreciate than to try to get into a special relationship with everybody you feel kind toward. Because if they don't really love themselves, then they can't take too much love. So if you were giving that to them on a regular basis, you would actually bring up their fear and their suspicion and their disbelief. They could take one compliment once a day, but it's going to take you saying you're the light of the world every day. They freak out. I've seen it over and over. That's just so true. Just try it. Just try it and see. Everything I'm telling you, nothing that I'm saying to you in this class is theoretical. And there's nothing I'll say to you in this class that you can't practice every day. That's why it's hard to, I believe, after many years of teaching, that's why I believe it's difficult to have a lot of people stick around in the course, no matter how much they say they like it. Because sooner or later, you have to deal with the fact that you know this, but you're not doing it now. If I say I want to get in touch with my higher, get in touch with how to read auras, that might take me a while. But if I say it, I can look at you and say, hey, I want you to have peace right now in this day. So I can do that now. Or when somebody's arguing with me and I just would take a breath, which is that's all you have to do in order to tap into your expanded awareness in order to heal a situation, is when someone's going off, you breathe. There was a lot of benefit to that old saying, count to ten. That's one of the most biggest metaphysical truths you could ever receive. If someone's saying something you don't like and you begin to get upset, count to 10, count to 20, count to 100. And what happens when you do that is that it allows you to go into your expanded awareness. It allows you to tap into maybe another way to look at these things before you say something that's only going to escalate the anger that's already happening. Truth is simple. Our ego makes it complex so that we won't do it and keep the crap going. And I'm tired of my crap. And I'm tired of your crap. Aren't you tired of my crap and everybody else's crap? Holy crap. You know what I'm saying? So I'm voluntarily not trying to get into an intimate special relationship with anybody until I allow myself to become saner. Plus, I think it would be more peaceful. So nothing with my ego. I don't need to deal with somebody else's right now. Unless we're going to be about some love. And then what you do is you have so much love in your life that it's okay anyway. You don't, there's nothing missing. You know what I mean? There's so many loving people in my life that no one person not being in my life would stop me from experiencing love. So that allows you to feel very secure in a relationship, because it's not like that person is your last chance to experience love. You don't treat me right. Guess what? Spit the motor wheel. That's what you should be able to say to anybody. Oh, you don't want to be with me anymore? Fine. There are lots of people that do. End of jealousy. Because all of that comes from fear of loss. And if you put all your eggs in one basket, and that basket drops, you're screwed. You know that's true. You know, but we do it all the time. And the Course talks about stuff like we do it all the time. Don't even think about it. We put all of our attention on one person and scare ourselves to death around the loss of that person or that person going to someone else. Where if you had lots of people that you loved and you felt love, you would not react that way. Mm-hmm.
I think we do that also with our jobs.
Everything. Yeah, whatever I'm saying, you can apply it to everything. You know you always get a job offer when you got one. You know people give you money when you don't need it. You know people ask you out when you got somebody. You don't have somebody, you just can't find nobody. Right? As soon as you get somebody, there's some more. Because why? Because if you're in a state of no lack, then you attract abundance. It's really just that simple. You know? The best time to look for a new job is when you don't need one. They always show up when you don't need one. You want to? There was a statement, there was a sentence in the Bible that went something like, you know, he who have, leave him more should be given. And something like, who doesn't? Even that, the little they have is going to be taken away. And when I read that, I thought that was so cold. I said, bam, I said, God, cold-blooded. You know, you mean the one that has little, even the little they have will be taken away? But when I looked at the experience, it's exactly what it looked like. It always looks like the people who are most in poverty are the ones who seem to lose their job. You know, and then the people who have a lot, just seems like more comes to them. Those are just things we all see all the time. So what a person who's unconscious has a lot of is anger, resentment, jealousy, frustration. And they always create more of it because they're just full of it. So it just comes to them from everywhere. So I want to love a lot of people. I want to love a lot of people. I really do. It doesn't really fly a lot of times, though, when you date somebody. They don't like that idea of you loving a lot of people. They don't get excited by that idea at all, you know. So, that's okay. That's the way it is in the old world, but it's not that way in the new world. And that's okay. There are two worlds. And, yeah.
Do you think that happens if that in that relationship both people are very satisfied with the relationship, then you can love whoever you want? I mean,
as long as a person knows they... And you have to understand, the Course in Miracles definition of love is full appreciation. That's one of them. Okay? So when you said love a lot of people, what's the first thing that comes to people's mind? Thank you. One more time, when you said love a lot of people, what comes to people's mind?
Sex.
Yeah. Love and sex aren't the same thing. Sex is what you do with the person you're most afraid of. Until you wake up to the truth, sex is what you do with the person you're most afraid of. Because it's the why do I say that? Think about it. What freaks people out? Sex. The idea of somebody that's loving heaven. So that's fear. That's fear. And when you enter the separate mind, it's the symbol of love. When you're in the separate identity, sex becomes a symbol of love. It becomes a symbol of specialness. So what makes me the most special man in your life? I'm the only one you have sex with. Because other than that, what's the difference between me and everybody else? You go to lunch with everybody else. You can talk to everybody else. You go to a movie with everybody else. You go on a picnic with everybody else. What makes me special? The things you do with your body to me. So it becomes the symbol of love, and then people become afraid if they think that that somehow or another is not going to be just directed toward them because it's the symbol of the love. So all of a sudden, it takes on an importance that's way, way beyond what it's supposed to be. And then it becomes everything. So the Course is saying everything we use for fear can be used for love. So whatever we've made up, it can be used for love. You know? So there's nothing you have to sacrifice. It's just that you have to want everything in your life to be used for love. You want a way of using that as love. And I like to talk about the things that people deal with. Like people deal with their sexuality. They deal with financial issues. They deal with their career and their job. How do we apply this truth to our everyday situation? I can't do that airy-fairy kind of teaching that doesn't deal with the real issues that I think I deal with as a human being. I get tired of going to classes where people don't talk about the stuff that I deal with every day. And that's what my classes are for. It's for down to earth, let's take this stuff down. And you know what? Doctor told me I had cancer yesterday. How do I look at that? I hate my mama. How can I change that? See, that's the level I want to talk to. Whatever you're using to block yourself, I got a big drug problem. I don't know what to do with that. And I want to wake up to who I am as a spiritual being. Just color the spectrum. And so all this. And so 2008 is, for me, is going to be the most honest, authentic year that I've lived so far. In every area of my life, there's not going to be a separation between the Earl that's separate from this class and the Earl that's in this class. He's not going to be a role. He's going to be a person. And I want you to invite you to do the same thing. you know, don't bring your representative to the class. I'd like to see you. Be nice to meet you all. Ms. Wood.
Mm-hmm. When did you start using the terminology God in your practice?
When I got into the course, that's when I started using, because I realized that I had to forgive those terms. There were terms I had to forgive. I had to forgive God, I had to forgive Christ, I had to forgive Jesus, I had to forgive the stuff I learned as a Southern Baptist that were frightening. And I realized, how could I be enlightened if when I read a word I freak out? That was other things that didn't make any sense to me. I'm this big spiritual titan that studies all these books and meditates and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But if somebody said Jesus, I freak. And I'm this wrong. You know what I'm saying? And I see that in class all the time. Don't say the word God. That's your problem. That's not my problem.
Yeah.
So why should I not say it because you have a problem with it? Which should let you know that the problem that you have with it is your interpretation of it and not what it is. That's your interpretation of God. And Jesus is cool with me. You know, Jesus is the one that's my teacher. I don't talk about it a whole lot because in the past it's been very frightening to people to talk about Jesus. And the truth is we all have teachers, and those teachers are not all named the same thing. But why should I deny mine? You know what I mean? So I'm really seeing where I'm not applying the truth. You see what I mean? I'm talking truth, right? But then I'm coming into my physical reality and letting what I think other people think change the way I am, which means I'm doing the duality.
When you were talking, I was looking at that sign, God is love, and I thought, you know, whatever we call it, it's love.
Right. That's what the Course in Miracles says, that it's just two things, love and fear. And so if you have a problem with the terminology, you could just substitute love and fear, and then that would be the end of your resistance, and you would get the beauty of it. I'm able to say these terms now because I've studied it a long time. I had just as much resistance as a lot of people who just starting out, but I don't have to act like I still have it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to act like I still got resistance because you knew. So I'm going to act like I got resistance too. The truth is I don't have resistance like I used to have resistance. And so I realize I haven't been honest. I haven't been as authentic as I need to be in my life.
It's a beacon of hope to know that you could start out with resistance and then end up not having it.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
To see you not have it after having had it, that's, oh, okay, I'll get there.
It's like one of my favorite lines in the Course in Miracles is that Jesus says, forgive me for what I did not do. It's like having a vicious rumor about somebody and then you believe the rumor, but it's not really true about the person at all. It's just the rumor. And so everybody's mad about the rumor, you know, and so therefore they can't stand the person, but they never met the person. They've just been hearing the rumors. So it's not necessary to make yourself believe something that doesn't feel natural for you, but just ask yourself, why am I feeling this much resistance to a word? That's all. Just ask yourself that question. You don't have to, you know. Some of the staunchest supporters that I've had in years of teaching the Course have been people of a Jewish background. Which I always think is interesting, since the Course in Miracles is channeled by Jesus. And matter of fact, that's who it was channeled through, was a Jewish psychologist who was an atheist. That's hilarious. I mean, who else but God would channel through an atheist? Think about that. Think about that. It's just, we miss the humor of spirit. So don't fight yourself. The truth is stranger than fiction. You know what I'm saying? Don't fight yourself. He said, don't fight yourself, don't fight yourself, don't fight yourself, don't fight yourself. If you feel your resistance is strong, don't fight yourself. He says, but think about the kind of day you want. Tell yourself there's a way in which this very day can happen just like that. Okay, so we're getting the steps now, and I don't care how far I go today because I'm going to keep going through this section until I finish it. So you could almost look at it like this is what we're working on Wednesdays for a while. Because it's very important. It's the rules for decision. So I'll say it again. Think about the kind of day you want, which we do all the time. So we got step one already covered. Then the Course says, tell yourself there's a way in which this very day can happen just like that. First I tell myself what I want, then I tell myself it can happen. Then it says, then you try again to have the day you want. The outlook starts with this. Rule number one, if you want to have the kind of day you want, tell yourself, I will make no decisions by myself today. Then the man goes, well, what does that mean? He says, well, you know, what's the next part of the sentence? That means. You see that all the way through the book. It anticipates every question you're going to ask if you just keep reading. But people don't keep reading. They go back instead of going forward. And then it says, well, he says, it means that you're choosing not to be the judge of what to do. I'll tell myself what I want, but I'm not going to be the judge of what to do because I'm not going to make any decisions without God. I'm not going to make any decisions without the truth. I'm not going to make any decisions without my higher self. He says, it also means what? You will not judge the situations where you will be called upon to make a response. Because if you judge the situations where you're called upon to make a response, you have set the rules for how you should react to them. He says, then another answer can't but produce what? Confusion, uncertainty, and fear. So when you make up your mind about what something should be like without asking spirit, when you get something other than what you've decided it should be, he says, you just feel fear, uncertainty, and confusion, right? So if you're confused right now and you think you've asked for something, it just means you've already decided who it should be, how it should come to you, and everything, and it's not happening the way you decided it should happen. And that's why you're upset. Because you didn't ask the honest question. You didn't just ask spirit how to have that thing. You already decided how you should have that thing. And then you ask. See the difference? And so it says, what? Get what he said to me. Or, oh, Errol, this is your major problem right now. And then your man says, what? Then watch how it reads. You still make up your mind and then decide to ask what to do. So you keep reading forward. It's like, so I make up my mind that my happiness is in this person. I make up my mind that it's how I think it should be. And then I say, God, help me with this. Give me this. Spirit, guide me. But I've already made up my mind before I ask what I should do. I have done that many times and still do that sometimes. Does anybody else do that? Anybody else in here make up their mind and then decide to ask what to do? Then he says, now, what happens is when you do that, he says, what you hear, the answer you get back, and let's get clear, spirit will talk to you through your own mind, the newspaper, television, your friends, everybody sitting in this room. I can't tell you how many answers I've gotten in the coffee shop where it looked like somebody was having a conversation with somebody else. And it would be exactly, I knew the answer that I was asking for. We probably all had that experience, right? So he says that what you hear may not resolve the problem as you saw it resolved first. He says that leads to fear. So fear is basically coming from things in your life not being resolved the way you think they should. So when I'm afraid, it's just that things aren't happening the way I think it should. That's all fear is. It's not happening the way I think it should. I'm just afraid. Something might happen the way I'm making it up in my mind. I'm afraid. So people who always make up their mind about how everything should be without asking their higher self are people who experience a lot of confusion, uncertainty, and fear. So you can work back from your emotional state to the mental cause of it. If you are afraid, you work back, and so you would say something like, right now I've already made up my mind about what this should be like before I even ask.
And then when it comes to you, you miss it.
So right, because it's not what you have expected. A friend of mine and I was studying yesterday, and we were talking about how, she teaches the course too, and it was interesting how a person was having a financial problem, and you told them that they needed to forgive and stop holding the grievance, they don't see the connection between the two things. In their mind, if I got a financial problem, it's solved with money. So you need to tell me how I can get some money. Okay? So they've already made up their mind what the answer is, but they're just coming to you to tell them how to get the answer they've made up. And that happens a lot. That happens a lot in counseling. I've already decided how this should go now. I just want you to tell me how to get it the way I want it. You know, which is a hell of a request when you think of it. That puts you in a position of having to solve everybody's problems for them. That's insane. I'd never do that. I would never put that kind of pressure on myself.
No, adding another layer.
That's right. That's right. That's right. What you really want to go is, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to this is. And could you give me another way of looking at it?
when I'm reading the lessons, and I'm at the beginning, I'm following it from January 1st, so we're at that part where this is all meaningless. And last year when I tried to do it, I got too scared and I stopped.
Right.
And this year I felt more ready.
Right.
And so what I'm finding happening is I hear one part of me saying, what do you mean this is all, none of this is real? But then there's this deeper part that says, I can kind of see behind that. I don't know what I see yet, but I think there's something else there.
Thank you.
Is that just another layer of nonsense, or am I really starting to wake up?
Did that give you more peace?
It was like a butterfly quickly.
Okay.
And also a very deep, this is the truth.
Yeah. Well, we all know that there's something beyond appearance. And whenever you do any of the course or read the workbook lessons, any part of the course that frightens a person is the part of the course that they're interpreting it based on their own past learning and not what the course is saying that that thing means. Like a lot of people go through a lot of anxiety about that very thing. That they get to the lesson that says, you know, a meaningless world is, you know, it's showing me fear or whatever. And they don't realize that when the course is talking about meaningless, the course is saying by the time you get to fear, anxiety, and depression, it's already meaningless to you. That's why you feel fear, anxiety, and depression.
That's why,
you know what I'm saying? It's just really telling the truth. Why am I depressed in my relationship? Because it's meaningless to you. You don't see any purpose in it. You don't know why what are you going through this for? It's not bringing you any joy. It's meaningless. So that's why you're depressed. So the course is just straight up with you. Well, the world is meaningless. That's why it's causing your fear. You're going out in a world that doesn't mean anything, and that's why you're not happy. This relationship doesn't mean anything. That's why you're miserable. If it had meaning, you would have some sense of purpose and satisfaction with it. So the course is just saying what the truth is, and it freaks everybody out. And the other thing that it says is that when it says stuff about something doesn't mean anything, what you could do is you could add to that, nothing means anything in and of itself. That's the other thing that's trying to get you to see. It doesn't mean anything until you give it meaning. It doesn't mean anything until you give it meaning.
Right.
Nothing has inherent meaning to us. My death, even though it's hard to believe, but if I died tomorrow, the majority of people in Denver wouldn't give a hoot. Just like when I look at the paper and they say somebody died, I don't cry because I don't know them. You know, so my friends would probably have an emotional reaction, right? Why? Because they have given me meaning. I didn't have any meaning until they gave me meaning.
Well, it's kind of a relief because a lot of times in my life, I see people get wound up and I think, what's the big deal? And I thought maybe something was wrong with me for a long time.
Well, it's pretty easy to have that attitude that is no big deal about the things that's not a big deal to you.
No, not that. Not just that. Just
no, that's the truth. That's just a fact, is that we give everything in our experience all the meaning it has for us. So if that's true, that's true in every situation.
It is.
Right. So if something doesn't mean anything to you, it's because it doesn't mean anything to you.
It's even things that have meant something to me that I can release and other people want me to hang on to, that I feel a relief when I read this.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay, I wasn't so wrong all those times when I was able to release.
And I'm saying we're both right. That's still a result of the meaning that you're giving to that situation. And see, the one thing that's cool about the truth, according to the Course, is don't forget the thing that's great about the truth is that it's true in every situation. If there was a situation that it wasn't true in, it wouldn't be the truth. So that means every situation in my life, I give all the meaning that has to me. Even if I change my mind about something, that's still me giving it a new meaning that I didn't give it 30 minutes ago. And the power of that is that if you really begin to tap into the power of that statement, you actually have tapped into the secret of peace. Because if the way that I feel is coming from the meanings that I'm giving things, then I am beginning to see where inner peace comes from. Inner peace comes from the meanings that I'm giving things. So theoretically, I could have peace all the time. because I could give everything in my life a meaning that doesn't disturb my peace. Like, my mother made her transition, and I love my mother very much. Because I believe in eternal life, and that she's not a body, and that she still exists as a result of my spiritual work, my reaction to her death, quote unquote, is not the same reaction that people would have who thought life was only of the body. So the meaning I'm giving to it gives me peace, where the meaning someone else gave to it, they'd be still freaking out with sadness. You know, that's why, you know, Marilyn Monroe's still getting flowers put on the grave. You know what I'm saying? So remember that peace comes from your meanings more than they come from you being able to arrange an external situation to be the way you want it to be. And so then you know that your next job is to learn how, what, to give things new meanings, right? And then that's what the Course Workbook does, and that's what the Course Book does. It doesn't, you don't even have to figure out the new meanings. In the material, you are given the new meanings that would allow you to have peace. And that's what you're discovering more and more. And you're right, other people do want you to go into agreement with the way that they see things, because they instinctively know that unless you join with them, you're weakening that belief. And the Course talks about that, how people identify with their beliefs. So when you don't agree with somebody's beliefs, they feel attacked, you know, because they identify with them. And so all you have to do to weaken a belief is not believe it. That's all you have to do. You know, you say something that I don't agree with, I learned another big secret. I don't have to tell you I don't agree with you. I used to feel like it was my duty. Like somehow I wasn't being true to myself if I didn't tell people, I don't agree with that. And I realized, well, really, since it doesn't have anything to do with them anyway, and in most cases, all they do is create separation, and since we're not dealing with a situation that is really important that I agree with you about this, then why do I need to tell you I don't agree?
So what do you do if somebody asks you for your opinion?
I'll give it to them so straight up it'll blow them out of the seat. Because that way you know that the Spirit's asking you to give them that. When the person asks you, that's God asking you for it. That's how you know. Now, then you get in touch with how much you believe what you say you believe. Because if you're afraid to say what you really believe, then you don't really believe it yourself. So I don't hide my beliefs from my relatives and my friends, but at the same time, I don't have to push it down their throat either, because it doesn't matter. I don't care whether they believe in the Course in Miracles. I don't care if anybody agrees about astrology, any of the stuff that I do. I don't care anymore. I know it works for me. Yeah. And that's all I need. And then the people who are open to it, they find me. So I don't even deal with opposition, because I'm never trying to recruit anybody. I'm not trying to convert anybody, so I don't deal with opposition. What I'm here to do is join with people who want to head in the same direction that I want to go in with me, so we can do this together. I don't have any interest in people who are not. And people sometimes say, why don't you go speak at a Baptist church? Why? I live in Massachusetts. You know, like, why would I want to go with you? Well, you need to go speak. No, they are happy with their belief system. Do you know the reason why that person didn't kill their mate this morning was they believed in hell? The belief in hell is cool for people who, that's what it takes for them to treat somebody right. Then you need to, I want you to think the devil is sleeping in your bed. You know, everybody is where they need to be. Everyone is where they need to be. Everyone is where they need to be. Everyone is where they need to be. Even the people that are doing stuff that we might not agree with.
So how do you find peace when you know there are people in your life you've talked to in your past who would definitely benefit from, you know, your understanding of things?
What, there's a lot of people like that, isn't it? I understand. What you do is, here's my take on that. That's a good question.
Yeah.
All right. What you do is you remember the truth for them and you demonstrate it.
Okay.
And then they see through your actions and behavior something that they may one day go, you know, I noticed, and I noticed something different about you. I noticed you kind of, because if you just talk it, they don't mean anything. But if they see you handle something different from the way they handle it, then that's when they notice it.
Right.
You know, so demonstration is a lot more effective than conversation.
Yes.
You know, conversation is just something that you do to kind of help you remind you of what you don't want to forget. So we sit around and we all talk about this.
And then realistically, they're not going to come through and understand a whole lot of any of it unless they approach it themselves.
Right. And in order for them to approach it themselves, they need to reach their limit. And so the faster a person reaches their limit, the quicker that they'll make a change. And so when you keep interfering with people and trying to fix them when they're not ready, you actually slow down their transformation. You actually help people change faster by leaving them alone.
Right. That's true.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anybody that's sane would be glad to hear that, right? But when you're a caretaker and you get your sense of validity from fixing, then you don't want to hear leave people alone. Because you're focusing on them is a way for you to avoid looking at your own stuff. So when you said leave other people alone, who does that leave you to deal with? Oh, who could it be that I'll actually have to talk about? I mean, Cousin Joe. It still ain't going to be me. It's never going to be me. Because, you know, I'm not the problem. I may be the common denominator in every situation in my life, but... who was in all those relationships? Who was in all those jobs? Who's been like consistent in every situation? Could there be a connection?
Nah.
Stop and do the love offer right now. It's 5 minutes to one.
Wow.
Time passed so fast when you're having fun. I want to thank those of you who shook your rump to the funk Sunday. That was a very powerful healing experience. I had never seen so many rumps being shook before.
You provided an opportunity to howl.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's right. Shake. Well, that's the dance class. So, thank you for sharing with me in my full-time ministry with the Course in Miracles. I appreciate that. I do it on a love offering basis so people can come regardless of their financial situation, and at the same time, trust that those who see value in it and can share with me will. If you want to do this seminar, there are lots of people that are interested, but it's a limited number, but it's the people that sign up and pay first that are guaranteed a spot. But even if you don't pay right now, still, if you want to do it, still put your name and contact information on in the notebook so that I'll know that you're on there. It's 10 to 3, January 26th. You still have plenty of the day ahead of you. It's $50. And the focus is going to be on creating the new. So I'm coming in that day with the attitude of we're going to move in a new direction and we're going to think things and apply things in new ways that we've never done it before. And so and we have 6 hours, so I won't feel so rushed like how we just did this hour. And then we get a chance to put the focus on practical application. That's another one of my big things this year, is the application of the ideas. So that we won't have a divided mind. There's a world full of people that's waiting for us to get sane enough for them to feel safe enough to come around us. There's some really cool people out there who are unbelievably wonderful to be around, but they also are conscious, so they can tell when they would frighten you and you would attack them. And so they stay away out of their love for you. And then that leaves us with the people who are just afraid, like we are, to practice on. Right. You do it all the time. I bet you do it all the time. You'll see somebody and you'll say, boy, they seem like they're kind of crazy. And you don't try to hook up with them. But you don't attack them either, do you? You just don't hook up with them. Right. But see, it was hard for me to accept that there were people doing me like that. You know, I've never done those things. Somebody may go, Earl. Earl's coming. Let me go the other way. So now you're going to say, well, I'm at the top of the totem pole. I'm the one that's doing the choosing, you know. I would think somebody was like choosing, like, it's funny. It's funny. It's so funny. I remember in one book they were saying what we do is like somebody who leans over a cliff and looks down, you know, at the ledges below us. But it never dawns on us to do that. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. And so the course makes you do this. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, Lord, have mercy. You know? Oh, man, these people are much more conscious and loving than I am. I wouldn't hang out with Jesus all the time. I'd have an inferiority complex that would be ridiculous. You know, Jesus could forgive everybody, feed the 1,000 folks they said, you know, whatever, with bread, you know what I'm saying? I can't do none of that. You know, he lost his temper one time in the temple, but pretty much he was cool. He did, he had a little anger management, he was okay. And I was glad to see Jesus go off. And I read the Bible, so yeah, Jesus, I know how you feel. You know what I'm saying? Cool. Because I want a teacher that can relate to what I go through. I don't like to be around teachers who seem like they got it all together, and they don't go through anything that I go through. And a lot of teachers present themselves like that, like they got it all together and they're just giving it to all these people who don't have it. Well, let me tell you, that ain't me. I got an ego too. You know, I get mad too. I just don't handle it the way I used to. See, that's the difference. You know, and if I do, I forgive myself faster than the average person would.
So, yeah. So mm-hmm. I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you just leave yourself alone?
Yeah, I try to leave me alone. I really try. That's been my greatest achievement. Because I found out the more I studied, the more I realized I was taking the blame off of everybody else and putting it on myself. I started giving everybody else more of a break than I was giving myself. Other people would do stuff and I would go, okay, that's just a call for love. Or they just calling for God or whatever. But then I would still make myself feel bad about it every time I lost my temper or I got upset. I wouldn't turn around and have the compassion for me that I would have for everybody else. So my golden rule is to treat myself as well as I do everybody else. Then that's when I know I'm doing better. Because I treat other people better than I do myself in the sense of being more compassionate about their errors. Not in terms of feeding them first. I'll get to that sooner or later, but. But yeah, that's been there. It's like, I'm getting there. I'm working on it. I'm going to get there. Mm-hmm. So tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is the next Course in Miracles meeting. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock is the next meeting. And all of my classes are put on my website within a week. So I got over 300 classes online at earlpurdy.com. But you can buy or download individual classes, or you can subscribe to the website and get access to all 300 classes. And you can just listen to them. Just click on them and it'll play on your computer. Or you can download it into your iPod, or you can make a CD. And I mean, I got people that are subscribing to that website that's far away as Australia and Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that, especially in Amsterdam, that they end up somebody inviting me over there. I got some research I want to do. I got a little research I want to do over there. So, all right. So we're getting ready to go back out into the lab. And so the first thought we're going to take out, and if you get a chance, read this section and write down any questions that you have about it. And the first one is, today I make no decisions by myself. So try to focus on the rest of the day to ask first. And when you think about what you want, tell yourself you can have it, and then say, I'm not going to make this decision without checking in with my higher self. That I'm gonna check in. That's all that means. I'm gonna check in with myself about this. And how one way you check in is you say to yourself, what do I want to come out of this? What is it for? That's a form of checking in. Okay, I'm saying I want this, but why do I want this? How would this be for my own best interest? That then you give yourself, with a capital S, an opportunity to communicate with you. Okay? All right. We'll see you the next time. Whoa. Awesome. And so when all else fails, just shake your rump to the funk. And if you have